Praise God. Yeah, it's a hard thing to imagine, as we mentioned on Sunday, that, you know, the effective working of God in our lives is controlled by us. Now, we don't like that. Something along that line, I was praying about some things, and the Lord said, I'm not in charge. And I said, well, yeah, I sort of know that, but that's still kind of a hard pill to swallow. I mean, we know enough from the Word of God, and we know enough from what we see in this world that if God was in charge, the world would be different. God's not in charge. And a religious mind wants God to be in charge, because as long as God is in charge, then we don't have to take any responsibility. We don't even have to take responsibility for our own lives, because after all, God's in charge. And yet, if God was in charge, everybody would be saved. If God was in charge, everybody would be walking in love. If God was in charge, there wouldn't be the sinking of the world and the people calling good evil and evil good. If God was in charge, that wouldn't be going on, would it? And so, if we are going to be children of the light, we are going to have to walk in the light as He is in the light. We are going to have to love the truth. Now, in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, it's a total of about 8 pages, but it's many times it says, oh, how I rejoice that you love the truth, that you walk in the truth, that you desire the truth. And Jesus came, and He was the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm come that you might have life. You can't have life without truth, without the truth. And Jesus is the truth. And His word is the living word, and it is the truth. You know, I was thinking as you read, and I'm still reading, of course, Ephesians. I'm still studying Ephesians, because Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is real busy trying to get across what God has done in the lives of the people and what they should do with what God has done in their lives. And the Apostle Paul is telling them based on what Jesus Christ revealed to him. And because he was telling them what Jesus Christ revealed to him, they didn't want to hear it from him any more than they heard it. They wanted to hear it from Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us that as Christians, we have an anointing from the Holy One. We can know the truth. We can have that truth abide in us, and then we abide in Him. And the truth, the revelation of the Word of God, dwells in us richly and accomplishes that which God intends for it to accomplish. Had the privilege today of spending time in my rolling prayer closet. And, you know, a couple of things that God pointed out to me. First of all, this morning I went and got the black motorcycle because my bride was not ready to ride with me. And I only ride the red one with my bride. And so I went and it was very nice. And I have a very nice time with God. But when I got done, I had to acknowledge that it's nice, but it's not as nice as it is when the two of us are together. And this afternoon, then I got to go with my wife. And there's something special about the two of us being in the prayer closet together. Now, you could say, well, that's just an excuse to ride your motorcycle. You know, I like to ride it because I like the time I spend with God in it. In fact, God even says, let's go ride. It's nice out, go ride. Now, some people might not believe that. But that's okay, because I don't worry about what people believe. I worry about what God believes. But the thing is that although it's nice by myself, it's nicer with her where two or more agree. And in the same sense, it's nice to worship the Lord, but it's nicer when we are together to worship the Lord. Because the Lord likes it. And we are people who want to please God, correct? And all people who are called by His name should desire to please God. Above all things, that we might please God. That's the only thing that really brings true pleasure to our lives, is pleasing God. That's the thing that brings the most pleasure. If we think about it, the things that please us most are the things that bring pleasure to God. Things that bring pleasure to God are the things that give you the nice, warm, tingly feeling. And there's a wide range of things that will bring pleasure to God. But one great thing that pleases God is our love and our worship and our adoration of Him. And how sweet and how pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. Well, as I'm writing, the Lord is talking to me about some things. And the Lord just simply said that people who have an affection for darkness will always resist the light. Well, you know, obviously, that makes sense. He was the light. He came into the world, and the darkness received Him not. But see, then the Lord began to give me examples. I began to get some understanding. If you have a person who enjoys failure in other people, who enjoys negative things, that person, that's what they're seeking after. And if someone tries to spread light on that thing, what happens? They either shut up and go away, or they begin to argue and to fight about that because they enjoy the darkness. Don't tell me something good. Tell me something that I can spread. What's wrong with spreading good? And people who have a tendency toward that, then, they are very resistant to truth and to life. Now, that is outside of the gospel. That is in the natural world. We know that that is true if we think about it. If you know somebody that just rejoices in the failure of others, you know that they don't want to hear anything good about that person. They don't want to hear anything from someone that might exalt itself against that. They don't want somebody to say, well, that's not what I heard, or are you sure? They don't want anybody to question. They're on a roll. It's darkness. It makes them feel good to see someone else have a problem. It's a strange way to be, but it's a fact. It's the same in the kingdom of God. If all we're looking for is what's wrong with the Word of God, we'll never receive what's right with it. And if we won't receive what's right with this, we won't know the truth, and the truth will not make us free. God's not in charge. God does not make anyone receive the truth. God offers people the truth. God shines the light. But they rejected the light, remember? And so the Lord says, don't be surprised. Scripture says it too. But to me, He said, so it's not a surprise when they reject the truth. It's not a surprise when people reject life. It's not a surprise when people reject joy, because they rejected the joy of their salvation. They rejected life itself. And we need to make sure that we are not people who reject life and reject light, but rather we need to be people who, as the Bereans, when the Bereans heard the word, they went to make sure it was true. They didn't go to find what was wrong with it. They simply went and said, oh, this looks good. This sounds good. They compared the Word with the Word, the living Word, the Word that Jesus spoke. They compared the Word with the fulfillment of the Word, or the reaction of the Word, or how the Word responded to what they believed. If we believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we believe that we are a sinner, and we receive Christ, we receive salvation. That's how we find out if the Word is true. Because God watches over His Word to perform it. In the same sense, then, when we believe by His stripes ye were healed, then we stand on that truth. I am healed. I am delivered. I am set free. I am more than a conqueror. We watch that Word. We stay in that Word. And then we see the response of the Lord to that Word. And we see the fulfillment of that Word. God says He will fulfill His Word, if we believe it. And so, as you said, Levon, you know, our God reigns in everything that we give Him reign over. And we're in charge of how much reign we give Him over it. Will we give Him 5 minutes? Will we give Him 5 hours? Will we give Him 5 days? Will we give Him 5 lifetimes? Will we believe Him above everything else? Or will we not? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. That's chapter 3, verse 1. Forgive me. That's what happens when the top of the book says one thing and the next one, and I put down the wrong reference. But Paul says, it is 4:1. Where am I? Okay, yes, I read a different spot. Don't mind me. Walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. For you have been called of God. You're not called by just anything. You're called by God. It's not a low calling, it's a high calling. It's a calling to come up. Remember on Sunday, we talked about the fact that you don't find the Queen of England begging. And she doesn't allow her children to beg. Because they have a calling. They have an anointing by their bloodline that entitles them to walk in a certain way, and they're expected to walk in a certain way, and the people expect them to walk in a certain way. And we all know that even non-Christians, probably non-Christians more than anyone, they expect a Christian to walk like a Christian. And they have all kinds of ways that a Christian is supposed to walk, right? Now, we don't have to measure up to them. We measure up to the Lord Himself. But walk worthy of your calling. You've been called by God. It's a truth. You don't work your way into that calling. You receive your way into that calling. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would be saved. And then that we would experience the fullness of our salvation. The life to live is the life that God intends for us to live. This is the way, walk ye in it. In verse 18 then, He talks about starting with verse 17. This I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the other Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, or because they have hardened their hearts not to receive the word of God. Have you ever met anybody that has hardened their heart not to receive the word of God? I have. But the sad thing is that oftentimes people who are sincere Christians harden their heart against the word of God that they don't want to receive. People that are sickness-minded can honestly love the Lord, but absolutely harden their heart to healing. Can acknowledge that, yes, God could heal, but he's in charge. It's up to God. It's up to God whether he heals me or not. Well, what if God said you're supposed to believe in your heart? Should healing be any different than salvation? Should deliverance be any different than salvation? Shouldn't the word of God be the same yesterday, today, and forever? But you see, we have to open our hearts and our minds to the truth. We have to meditate on the truth. We have to cast down those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. What God knows, what God says, what God puts in our heart. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And yet, there are people who take a great exception to any thought of that because God's in charge. But a mind that is not hardened, a heart that is not hardened, would have to acknowledge God is not in charge. God can take charge. God is in charge of the end run. God is in charge of how this whole thing is going to end up, but he's not in charge of how it's playing out. He gave us dominion. That's what his word says. He says, I give you authority. But authority demands responsibility. And it's easier not to take responsibility. Again, we can look at our society and we can see that most people prefer to make it somebody else's responsibility, somebody else's fault. But we can't do that. Again, in John, it says, my greatest desire is that you love the truth. If we will love the truth more than we love the lie, if we will stand on the truth and reject the lie, then we'll live the life that God wanted us to live, the life that he so desires. Because again, Paul explained that their minds were full of darkness and they wandered far from the life that God gives because they closed their minds and they hardened their hearts against him. Okay? Isn't that what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did when it came to Jesus? They hardened their hearts, they hardened their minds against him. They refused to believe the truth, and they wanted him dead. And even after they got him dead, they didn't want to accept the responsibility for them wanting him dead. Who did they blame it on? Well, they blamed it on God because he blasphemed and claimed that he was God. Now, honestly, scripturally, God didn't demand that everyone, that if a person claimed they were God, had to die. But they wanted him dead. People can say a lot of things. What would happen if every time somebody exalted themselves above God, they dropped dead? Funeral homes couldn't keep up with it. But God's merciful. God's kind. He said, you haven't come to a mountain that can't be touched. You haven't come to a place where I'm just going to throw out the plagues. You've come to a place, you've come to a living word. You've come to the life that is in Christ Jesus. And if we will receive that life, then that's the life to live. That we be lovers of truth. That we search our hearts and we search our minds and we find out, you know, I think that it's safe to say that everybody, every single person has been guilty or is guilty of rejoicing in another's problems. But if we're rejoicing in their problems, we won't be able to rightly pray for them, will we? But if we will allow the Holy Spirit to help us to acknowledge, oh, that's not a good response, then we can cast that down immediately by repenting of it and saying, Lord, pray for them. Don't even know what to pray. Otherwise, what will happen is we'll take that seed and we'll become a person who walks in the darkness. We'll become a person that is happy to spread the word. Remember when the Pharisees caught the woman in adultery? They were really excited that they caught her in adultery, weren't they? They came merrily bringing her to Jesus. They had something that they could get him with. Publicly letting everybody know that they caught her in adultery. And Jesus said, well, first one of you that are without sin, you throw the first stone. Now, as Christians, Paul did tell them that we should no longer practice sin, so we shouldn't be practicing sinning, should we? But what is it if we rejoice in someone else's failure? What is it if that person that has caused us grief suddenly has something happen to them and our heart leaps with joy? It serves them right. That's not how we would feel. If something were happening to us, would we say, well, that serves me right? Shouldn't be that way, should it? And we don't feel good when we're not pleasing God. We don't feel good when we feel that way. But it's a spirit. It's a spirit that just keeps driving people. And once they're driven to give themselves over to that, now they've got to continue to do it, because if they don't continue to do it, then they have to acknowledge that it was wrong, and acknowledging that something is wrong becomes harder and harder the deeper we walk in the darkness, because we can't see the light. But we ought to be people of the light. And we need to be willing to search our hearts and minds and see if we fall into that category. And when we do fall into that category, then we can hate it because it's sin. And when we conquer that, guess what? Now we've got life and we've got more life and we're walking in the light. And when we're walking in the light, we can see better. And then we can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Be imitators of God as dear children. It's fun to be a dear child, isn't it? We like to be dear children. And we like dear children. And sometimes we've got just a little bit of God in us, especially that sometimes we'll even be real patient with not so dear children because we love them enough. And that's how God is about us. He loves us enough to be patient with us. But we need to understand that, in fact, we are in charge of the effectiveness of the working of the gospel. Our God does reign and takes joy in reigning over everything that we submit to Him, over every area that we refuse to be conformed to this world, but we have our minds transformed by the renewing of our minds to the truth. And there's so much in this life that is in Christ Jesus that we miss if we don't choose the truth over the lie, if we don't choose what the Lord says, if we don't choose His way. And the Bible shows us, that Judas had the opportunity to choose life. He had the opportunity. Jesus confronted him with the very thing he was going to do. But Jesus saw that his heart was hardened and he said, do what you have to do. Peter, on the other hand, when given the opportunity, maybe didn't handle it good right away, but he hung in there and stuck with Jesus. He didn't do it perfectly, but Jesus loved him. Jesus said, feed my sheep. God is perfecting us. And He will put forth the effort to do that. And it's not so much that He demands perfection, but that He affords us the opportunity for perfection. And as we see the possibilities, and as we see the promises of God, then our desire for that perfection rises up, and we look and we say, I don't want to be someone who is sometimes darkness and sometimes light. I don't want what I say to be sometimes profitable and sometimes stealing from me. I want to come to the place that God desires to bring me to, because I understand that when the Lord said, forget not the benefits, it's okay. It is commendable to look at the benefits of the kingdom of God. To not understand the benefits of the kingdom of God is to say that God is a liar and to make Him not effective at all. To render God useless. That's what people do who refuse the truth. They, in their minds, God is useless, and He is useless to them. Because there's no benefit in the kingdom for them until they come to a knowledge of the truth. That we walk worthy of our calling because we've been called by God. That we desire the truth, that we receive the truth, that we know the freedom of the truth, that we know the abundant life of the truth, because Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The kingdom of God, operating in the kingdom of God, provides abundance. Abundant peace, abundant joy, abundant life, abundant wisdom, abundant health, abundant provision. If we can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. But if we reject, if we cringe at those truths, if we despise those truths, and we attack those truths with our personal experience or somebody else's experience, and we exalt those things that come against the truth rather than casting down those things that exalt the truth, then we take charge and we take the dominion out of God's hands, and we enjoy the dominion of a world that we create for ourselves. And that's a world that is falling apart around people. But it's not what God intends. And if my people, God said, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. I'll heal their lives. I'll heal those around them. I'll heal their very nation. I'll heal the world out of response to people who will believe the Lord. The Apostle Paul said he was a prisoner for serving the Lord. And he never mentioned that they should feel sorry for him or that they should join him in prison. He mentioned that they should become lovers of the truth. He said, "You all walk like you're walking in God." He said, "You all talk like you're talking in God. Don't let all those other things even be named among you. Don't give yourself over to that. Don't get caught up in that wickedness. Don't get caught up in the lies and the other things that other people are doing. You stand in the truth. You just stay right in the truth. And when you've done everything to stand, you just keep right on standing. Put on that full armor of God. Put on a breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with such a joy to take the kingdom of God out with you that you're just skipping with the life of God. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. You know, these are the things. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The things that I've told you, they may be difficult for you to rise up to, but man, just stand in them, stand in them, stand in them, stand in them, and stand in them. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Building yourself up in your faith, praying in the Spirit. And pray for me too, Paul said. Pray for one another. Our God does reign. And we can just continue to give him territory to reign. And we can take dominion. And we can stand in the Word of God. And we can live the life that God intends for us to live as imitators of God. Dear children, wonderful, wonderful. And all of those other things, they have nothing to do with us. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, you have no part in me." That needs to be our attitude. You've been made more than conquerors in Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Those aren't just words without meaning, but those are truth, and that you love the truth, that we 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 hold on to the truth, that we speak the truth over and over and over again, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, encouraging one another in love, living a life the way that God intends for us to live it, enjoying a life the way that God intends for us to enjoy it. The fullness of God is yours. The fullness of God is mine. If we can just believe it, if we can just receive it, if we can just hold on to it, knowing that in the world, the principalities and the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world are going to do everything they can to rip it away from you. Don't be surprised when something tries to rip it away from you. Don't be surprised when a temptation comes running at you directly in opposition to what you have determined that you're going to walk in. Don't be surprised when something tries to rip the truth, rip your throat out with the truth. Don't be surprised about that. That's not a big deal. But you're more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. And those things that come against you have only as much power as you give them. Who will we give dominion to? You're in charge of how effectively the gospel works in your life. I am in charge of how effectively the gospel works in my life. You're not in charge of how it works in my life. I'm not in charge of how it works in your life. We are in charge of the effectiveness of the working of the gospel in our life because it's our relationship with God. And if we will accept it, if we will accept the responsibility, if we will accept it along with the authority, then we will behold the glory of God. That's a promise of God. No weapon formed against you can prosper if you'll take charge of it. God laughs at his enemies. We can laugh too. By the way, your enemies are his enemies. When the enemy rises up against you like a flood, God brings a standard against him. We need only to allow the authority of God. We need only to take charge and loose the power of God. There's a battle. But battles aren't bad when you know you win. When you have confidence in God. This is the life to live. The Christian life. The life that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus enjoyed his life. Jesus was more than a conqueror. Jesus went through some stuff. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And he got a seat right next to the Father. And he said, "Where I am, you will be also." He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Wow. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead works effectively in you. I think we should let him be as effective as he wants. What do you think? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord, that we have an anointing from the Holy One and that when we seek you, we find you. When we call upon you, you come. That you reveal the truth to us. That you strengthen us. That you empower us. That you carry us. That you hold us. That you help us to run this race so that we can join. Paul said, "I have run a good race. I have finished my course." May we do that with every circumstance in our lives. Run the race, finish the course, receive the prize. Run the race again, finish the course, receive the prize. Keep running, finishing, and receiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.